Assalamu alaikum and welcome to our 117th episode of ABC Islam in our 82nd episode of our second series Islamically Independent. We are two Muslim sisters to ride the ABCs of Islam all the way to XYZ. Today we'll be talking about a very important topic that relates very much to our last podcast episode, and that is all about 10 topics every Muslim student should know. Now, in our last podcast episode, which by the way, if you haven't listened to it, you're definitely missing out, make sure to check it out. But in our last podcast episode, we talked about 10 things to do before back to school season, and hopefully, inshallah, a lot of you students will have went back to school or university now, and hopefully you have a gist of, you know, what is going on. But one of the tips that my sister gave in the last podcast episode, which I also added on to, which is actually about learning about Islam, and you know, there are certain things that Muslim students should be aware about before going into school or university, especially university in my opinion, because that is where a lot of people like to have societies, clubs or different topics. And if you don't know much about what Islam says on something, then it can be very hard for you. But I also think this can literally be even applied, in my opinion, to even like year sevens. If you're living in the UK, year sevens are like 11 to 12 year olds. Like, I feel like as soon as you're like a teenager, 13, 14, 15 year olds, and your GCSE and A level years, I think you can definitely learn all of these topics. And obviously, it doesn't mean you're going to spend, you know, obviously all of your days researching this, but simple things like reading books on this, or listening to podcasts, or watching videos on authentic Islamic sources can be really, really good. So, we're going to get right into the topic. And obviously, before we get started, I'd like to introduce my sister. So, how are you doing, sister? And how has life been going?
Alhamdulillah, it has been going amazingly well, and I couldn't have asked for a better time and better series of events in my life so far. And yeah, that's all I have to say pretty much. I'm feeling very tired, but what about you?
Definitely. I was just going to mention that I'm also feeling pretty tired because you know that I'm a student and I have work to do. But inshallah, with your du'as and, you know, with our commitment, we will inshallah try to always keep uploading a podcast episode. But anyways, if you'd like to know more about us, then please check out our trailer or alternatively description box below. And hopefully, inshallah, we enjoy today's podcast episode because I think we will enjoy making it. So we're going to get right into it. So the first topic is going to be said by my sister, who's going to mention what you should know as a Muslim student.
Yes, and the first topic that I'm going to start off is probably the most confused one I see on social media, that Muslims find it very confusing to understand, because I see so many Muslims actually supporting this and I don't understand why. And even though I might not know like a very big and good deep knowledge about this topic myself, but I feel like I know the basics of it, which is, for example, so I'm going to mention the topic, which is abortion. So abortion is something that obviously is very traumatizing for a woman to experience. She does not obviously want to go through this, especially if she's a first-time mother, whether that was, you know, with consent or without consent. Of course, we know that it must be a very harmful and very traumatizing experience and stuff. But we know that Islam rules that, you know, abortion is not definitely allowed in Islam. And even if it is very in very subtle and very specific situations, because we believe that as Muslims that we should not kill anyone, and especially that of course includes newborn kids, or you know, kids that are still in our bellies and stuff, and in our stomach, and we're still pregnant and stuff, in our womb basically. Yes, thank you so much for that word. And I find it very sad that just because of what happened on the outside, a kid has to go through this. And I find it very disheartening, because that kid has done nothing to be in your womb in the first place. So it doesn't really make sense to me to kill a fetus like that in a way. And because, yeah, some people might say, oh yeah, but the father of this kid is someone who I do not, you know, get along with, or I've never had any kind of relationship like that and so on, whatever it is, or I was never married to and so on. So it can be a very problematic situation, I can understand, but at the same time, I don't think it's the kid's fault in that case. So I think that kid has the right to life, and he should be obviously born and have a life on its own. And yeah, that's the first topic that I think especially women and should be very, very careful and should have a lot of reading about it, because it's something which is very confusing. I see many Muslim women supporting abortion. I don't know why, but I do see it on social media.
Yeah, I think definitely is because the reason why we're mentioning all of these topics is because number one, it's a good reminder to us ourselves because we might not have knowledge of all of these topics ourselves. So it's a good reminder for us, but also a reminder for you guys. And secondly, is because we want to talk about these topics because these are usually the controversial ones that we try to discuss in this podcast. So if we have made a podcast episode on this, you can just scroll down, find it, or you can also like you can also really understand why liberal societies try to like change their views on this. And again, I'm going to mention that obviously when we are in a society that is different to what it was in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, so obviously there are going to be some things that, you know, is not necessarily more halal or anything like that, but obviously the ruling stays the same. But there are going to be certain things where you might have to get along with. For example, if I give an example, which is like, again, I'm not saying this is halal at all in no way, shape or form, but for example, student loans, like that's something that we nearly every UK student has to do to get into university. And that was because I was actually literally watching an Omar Issa video today on haram money and interest. And I was like feeling upset because, you know, obviously student loans in the UK and having to take a student loan is very, very known. I think we should have added this to the list about interest because I think finance is really, really important. So here you go. That was a bonus one for you guys. But I think that definitely you need to have some level of flexibility. But that doesn't mean I'm encouraging you guys to sin at all. That's not what it means. But you need to have like flexibility to be able to adapt to the society as well. But moving on to the second one, and that is feminism. Now, feminism is one that a lot of girls love to talk about, and I know even men are supporting this nowadays, especially, not gonna lie, especially men who are part of LGBT, like for example, if they're, let's say, gay, for example, like they might really like support feminism. So I think feminism is something that a lot of people like to talk about, especially in days like International Women's Day, which is because of the rights that women did not have before. And the main reason why I have an issue with feminism, and I think my sister always watches The Muslim Skeptic on YouTube to actually discuss ideas on feminism because it's really good. And also Muhammad Hijab, Ali Dawah, they've also made a few videos on them if you want to check it out. But feminism is really important because there are a lot of people who like to say that women are basically inferior or that women are not being treated equally in society. And don't get me wrong, there are still things that we as a society need to improve on, but you don't realize that Allah has given so many rights to women that women, Muslim women themselves, like to just shove away and pretend it's not there. For example, mehr. Like, why is it that men have to give mehr to women? That is a specific and special right that only women get. We all know that the paradise lies in the mother's feet. Why is the mother mentioned more times than the father from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why is a daughter the key to paradise? You know, why are all of these things so important? Why does a woman need to be provided for by the father and then the husband? You know, why can a woman still actually go to school? All of these things literally are in the Quran and the Hadiths. And Muslim women themselves who like to make feminist posts on Instagram, they like to somehow just completely ignore it when Allah has given those rights already. And they like to pinpoint the ones that where men, for example, might look like they have an advantage. Like, for example, like men providing for the women. Yes, that might seem like men have more education, they have more money. But let's be honest, as women, we will be tired. It will be tiring for us to provide for the man or to provide for the family for the rest of our lives, or equally provide you 50-50 in every single thing. I think women like to be provided for. So there are certain things that you need to learn about feminism. And there's so much more we can say about this. But of course, we're not going to make a whole podcast episode right now about every topic. But if you want us to, tell us, please, in the 5-star reviews. But yes, feminism is one you should definitely learn about.
Yes, and I think that's something that is never ending, is never going to end, I feel like, that topic. But my topic that I want to talk about, the third one of this podcast episode, is literally all about polygamy. And I don't have much to say about polygamy because I haven't got the knowledge myself fully. So I'm going to keep it very short and very simple, which is basically when a husband is allowed to have more than one wife. And I know that my teenager, myself, I was very triggered knowing that, you know, husband's going to have four wives and a woman couldn't. And I was very shocked and everything. But then as I learned about Islam, you know, over the past few years and everything like that, I've got more deep into it. I realized that it is a right that a man has. Of course, he can have a second wife, third wife, fourth wife. But obviously, that has to be within his capacity. He can just marry for no reason. And this is why we have all kinds of protections, like, you know, for example, in the nikah, you can specifically state, for example, that you don't want a second wife, or there are specific conditions that your husband has to fulfill to be able to get a second wife, and so on. So it's very it's not like a very rigid and strict rule that all women have to follow or men have to follow in Islam. It's very specific as well. And it's also very rigid. So it's very, as you can see, it's very flexible. And those people who say that Islam is very, you know, rigid and strict, it's not, that's not true, because everybody has rights. Everybody has, there's a lid for every pot, I feel like. So yeah, that would be my point about polygamy, because I have nothing much to say.
I think that is definitely a very, very good one. And I think that if you had to know the short answer to why the four wives, I think my main answer would be, from based on my knowledge, and of course Allah knows best, and that is that husbands can have four wives, and because it has been limited. Before, it used to be 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 wives. So now they, Allah actually made sure they limited it to four wives. And what you need to understand is that not every man can marry four wives. Like, there are so many conditions to meet before you go and do so. So those of you men who are getting excited about getting four wives and you don't know the conditions, then don't get too excited, because I think majority of people will probably not fulfill that criteria anyways. Like, for example, one of the criteria has to be that your first wife has to, like, accept that you're going to marry a second wife, and if they don't, then you can't marry. So you need to make sure you're very careful about the conditions and you read up on them. But moving on to the fourth one, and that is, I've replaced the one that I had in mind because I think it's very overrated. So I'm going to move on to finances, as I was mentioning before. So I think finances is actually very, very important. As I already mentioned, I watched Omar Issa's video on haram money, and I think that finances is something that many Muslims do not know about, and I think that it is something that we need to talk about more, because I think that there are a lot of, I really liked how there was this specific man on this ad, which I can't remember, but he used to like always say about halal income. Mm-hmm. He used to always, I'm not sure what his name was. Do you remember the name?
I think it was something Osama, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, and this guy, Mashri Kala, like, he actually used to post, like, videos on making halal income. And I think from him, I think there were more courses that started from halal income, because his ad became really popular. So if you know what I'm talking about, then you know. If you don't, then you need to search it up, and it's fine as well. But there are ways to make halal income. And I think that the best thing is that when you're thinking about a career, just make dua to Allah that you want to use this career to make halal income, because obviously there are so many paths out there that is very, like, dangerous or can be nearly going into haram income. For example, if there is any, like, accountancy job or some, no hate to accountancy jobs, or sometimes it can involve, or even law, for example, it can sometimes involve, like, lying and things like that. So, you know, there are certain careers, but I think you should always have the intention that you're trying to make halal income from this career. Mm-hmm. And I think that would already give barakah, and it's already like a worship to actually be doing that. So I think that would be the topic. And now my sister will be going on to the fifth topic,
which is the most important one that as university student listening to this can, you know, and a teenager, especially when your hormones are basically raging. And that is all about the opposite gender / sex. And that is very, very important, because this is the perfect time, especially I feel like it's mostly in university time, when you have all these loans, as my sister mentioned, when you have all this freedom that you can just stay out till late, 9 p.m., 10 p.m., 11 p.m., and your parents don't say anything, and you can just stay in a shisha lounge with all the girls, if you're listening to this, with all the girls, if you're a boy listening to this, with all the girls, and if you're a girl, you're in the library sneakily just sitting there so the guys can check you out. I mean, we all have been noticing this situation. I've seen this myself in university, so it's very cringe. Trust me, it's very cringe to see girls posing themselves in a manner that guys can see them. And this happens a lot at university. So if you're going to university this year, be aware and lower your gaze, whether you're a girl or a boy. But it's very, very important that you don't think you're going to find your prince charming or your princess or your queen of life in university. And don't do it in the means of, obviously, haram, like too extreme haram. Obviously, okay, let's get one thing straight, which is that you can obviously like someone, but you don't do haram ways to get them, if you know what I mean. Like, you can like someone and you can let them know that, you know, I like you, you know, I want to get to know you more and all those kind of things. But there are halal ways of doing it, and that is not followed nowadays, unfortunately. In the UK, it's not. So I don't understand why sometimes Muslims get offended when these kind of stuff are shown on TV. For example, let's say a Muslim couple dating. I don't understand why they get offended, because this is happening in university, every single university out there. So let's be honest, I'm not trying to shade anyone, not like, you know, make fun of anyone or anything, but it does happen. And if it's offending us when it's shown on the TV, that means we should stop doing that in real life. I just feel like. So please do not interact with the opposite gender or sex for no reason, unless it's very important at university and school and college and at work.
Definitely, it's all about having that balance, because, like, obviously I think a lot of non-Muslims who might listen to this podcast episode might think that we're just not allowed to, like, interact with the guys at all, and like, yeah, like my sister's just saying arranged marriage here, like we're just not supposed to, like, look at them, like pretend guys don't exist in this world. Like, that's just not how it works. Like, of course, yeah, you can talk to them if it's important. For example, your male teachers, if you need help with something, obviously you need to ask questions. You can still go to school, you can still get an education, you can do everything, but you cannot going to haram means. And I don't think we need to explain this further. I'm sure you all know. So moving on to the next one, which is number six, that is very, very controversial. And this is something that I've encountered myself when I went to school, you know, back in my secondary school, and also something I've also faced right now as well. Like, I've listened to conversations about this, and that is the different sects of Islam, which I feel like even imams and sheikhs don't like to talk about this sometimes, because they don't like to make the difference and distinguishment between different types of Muslims. But that is between, like, for example, Shia Muslims, Sunni Muslims. Which one are you? Oh my God, Sunni Muslims are better. Oh my God, no, Shia Muslims are better. No, Sunni Muslims make more sense. Like, there is this whole, like, fight that goes on. And I think this can sometimes even happen, like, in Jummah. Like, if you pray in school and then you see that, for example, maybe someone is acting a bit quote-unquote Shia, then you can start, like, accusing that person, oh my God, are you Shia? And, like, it starts this whole fight and this argument. And obviously, I'm not going to lie to you guys, I've been involved in debates like this as well, because, you know, obviously, and I don't think you guys should know what sect of Islam we're in, because that's not really relevant anyways. So yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that, because I also know that, for example, Sheikh Hasan Ali, he also said that you shouldn't really, like, need to engage in these type of conversations. But if you have in the past, and if you do in the future, try to learn more about these sects, but not to fight against the other sect. That's not the purpose or the intention, but to just learn about what are the differences, and that's fine. Like, I think it is, knowledge is power. It is okay to know the differences. It is okay to know it, because also you don't want to be in that position where you don't know what sect you are, or that you don't know what type of Muslim you are at all. Like, I know there are some people who don't know if they're Sunni or Shia at all, and, like, that's fine. Like, that's okay. But then you might encounter someone in your life who might tell you that, oh, you know, you better start being Shia because Shia is the best. So or the other way around, vice versa. So that is why you need to ensure you know about the sects of Islam, know what it says, but of course with the intention for good and not for evil.
Yes, and I completely agree with that, and that's something that I don't think I have a lot of knowledge on, and that's something that I should research more and read about more, because I don't understand what is this, all this fuss about all these different sects and stuff. But anyway, so now I'm going to be moving on to the seventh one, and the time is, like, going really fast, which means we're enjoying, basically. The seventh topic that I think that everybody should learn about, and something that every Muslim does every year, which is all about Ramadan. And Ramadan is very essential, and I think this teaches you a lot of skills, and also a lot of, I don't understand how we do this, because especially when we have exams during Ramadan, I don't know how we can fast for 19 hours and still do an exam and still have time to sleep and do all the prayers, and somehow we come out of Ramadan like completely different new person. But then as soon as it hits Eid, we just feel so, like, we're hungry every hour. I don't know why that happens anyway, but that's basically my experience. Quote unquote, yes. And yeah, I think Ramadan is a very important, you know, time and a month of every year for every Muslim, and I think that everybody should know what works for you, how you work during exam time. if you can sleep, what is the best time for you to sleep, what is the best time for you to revise. Prioritize everything. Please do not lose yourself. And also, please do not do anything haram whilst you're fasting, because, for example, flirting with a colleague of yours at work, or a student, or a colleague of yours at university, because that's just basically defeats the whole purpose of why you're actually fasting. So these are some basic etiquettes and basic rules that you should know about Ramadan, that I feel like the more basic something is, the more people forget it. So you need to go back to your basics about Ramadan and why it is important for all Muslims to have this pillar of Islam.
Yes, definitely, because Ramadan is very important. But also, the reason why I also wanted to talk about Ramadan was also because the fact about in Islam, there is this whole and I know the I think Muslim Skeptic also posted a video about this, which is actually about, you know, what is the difference between kind of judging what is apparent and judging from based on giving advice, for example. So you might judge from what's apparent, but you also don't want to be judgmental where, you know, the other person thinks you're attacking them. So there is always, I think that's an argument that keeps coming up in Islam. I don't see this in any other religion except Islam. I feel like in Islam, everyone is always either stop being judgmental, or they say judge what is apparent. No, I'm doing the right thing because I'm judging from what is apparent. So I think we've mentioned this maybe in one of our episodes that we did recently, and that is that it is really you are going to know within you if you are doing this from a place of judgment or if you're doing this as a place of protecting yourself. So for example, if you're protecting yourself, that means that yes, you might see someone drinking alcohol and you know that, oh, this person might not be in the best mood, or this person might not be the best company, and you're gonna get this feeling inside, it's a gut feeling, you're gonna get a feeling that, oh yeah, I don't think this is a right person to really be with. Whilst you might, for example, see someone who, let's say, doesn't read the Quran every day, okay, let's say, and you realize, or maybe they miss one or two prayers, but let's say, obviously prayers is salah, very important pillar, but let's say they're trying their best, or they're still trying their best to pray all the five prayers, maybe they have a really good personality, they're kind to everyone, they help people, that's still someone good. So yes, there might be, I don't know, a non-hijabi, they might be praying two times a day, they might be drinking, you never know, but they might have certain other things. So it's all about your gut feeling, about your intuition. And that's why in Ramadan, a lot of people like to judge others, oh, you're a Ramadan Muslim, I just saw you drinking alcohol 2 months ago and now you're suddenly hafiz, that doesn't make any sense. So people, in Islam there's always this judgment going on, and the answer is, if you're stuck, the answer is you just use your intuition. If you feel like that person is not going to be good for you, stay away from them. If that person, you think, yes, they might have, everyone has flaws, every person has flaws, there are niqabis who wear makeup, there are, I don't know, there are for example, hafizes, people who go to the mosque every day but then they smoke shisha, there are gonna be different people, and everyone has flaws, so there's no point of judging them. You just have to use what you think is right for you, essentially. But moving on from Ramadan and why people, I just wanted to get that out of the way because people love to judge and have this thing. But the eighth one is definitely moving on to haram food and drinks, which is something that I thought was explained and very normal. I think especially, alhamdulillah, in the society we live in, the UK, it's something that, because we have been with a lot of Muslim communities, a lot of Muslims are aware about this. But that is about which foods and drinks are haram and halal. And it breaks my heart to say that apparently Oreos are not halal. And yeah, my sister just dropped the pen because she just got shocked. But apparently I saw this where Oreos are not halal. And then I think there was once this thing where they said Coke was not halal, which apparently it is. So don't worry. I mean, according to what I researched, I think it is. But you can do your own research. But I think that there are certain foods that you need to check. And if you go to a Western country like the UK, you need to check the labels. That's how it is. Unfortunately, there's no way out of it. You need to check. Before going into a restaurant, ask them, is the food halal? If it is not, go for the vegetarian or vegan option. That is usually the best bet. Or if you really want to make sure, go to a halal restaurant. Alhamdulillah, where we live, there are many halal restaurants out there. So really, this is becoming more and more open. But unfortunately, a lot of Muslims don't know that if you eat haram food, then you do, your prayers don't get accepted for 40 days, 40, which is a long time. So of course, doesn't mean we're judging you if you've eaten your McDonald's burger before. you know, if you've done it before, seek forgiveness, move on. But what we're trying to say is that it is important to ask and to know. I think this is actually a very easy sin to, you know, very basic sin to avoid. Like, it's definitely easier than prayer, in my opinion, because like you can literally just like check the food, check which ones are halal. If you live in a country like UK, they will literally have a halal food sign sometimes in the front. Like we have our typical Najma kebabs that are like that are like halal on the front. It just says it nice and big there, and you're like, yes, gonna have these kebabs. This meat was halal before it died, as you might have watched from that video, if you know what I'm talking about. SR Productions or something like that. Yeah. So anyways, we're moving away from the topic, but that is to make sure you know your haram and halal foods and drinks.
Yes, because for example, I was very disheartened and very heartbroken when I found out Oreos, as my sister just said now, that they're haram. And also, if you are coming to the UK and you're very drawn to Haribos, you make sure that you know which Haribos are halal and which ones are not, because that's very disheartening. And yeah, just don't have Haribos in general. But my ninth topic and the last one that I will be speaking about in this podcast episode, hopefully inshallah, is LGBT community. Now, I think that this topic is very overrated now and is very boring now, but it is something that every Muslim should know, because unfortunately our brothers and sisters in the USA especially are so much into supporting LGBT, and I can't stress enough how painful it is to watch them doing that, because it looks very embarrassing. Because even non-Muslims are like, wait, I thought they don't support, but then they're supporting us. It doesn't make sense. So they think that, oh wow, I mean, I guess we are ruling then, because clearly they don't believe in their own Islam and they're just supporting us, even though they know it's haram. Like, it doesn't make sense. So please don't be part of that group. That's all I'm going to say. Those Muslims who just support LGBT because they want to look cool or conform, or they just want to look, you know, popular in the friendship group. No, don't do that, because that's going to take you closer and closer to hell, and basically closer and closer to your friends in this world only.
Well, very, very deep and very, very hard-hitting. But unfortunately, the reality is that I think nearly out of all of these, like some, I think most Muslims, for example, can accept that haram relationships are haram. They can accept that abortion is haram. They can accept that feminism, like some parts of feminism, are haram. But when it comes to LGBT, some people just like to pretend it's halal. Like, it's just so sad. But moving on to the last one of this podcast episode, and that is relationships with your parents. Now, this is something that every single teenager, I kid you not, I think every single teenager goes through a very rocky relationship with their parents during teenagehood. Some people have fewer rocks, some people have huge, ginormous rocks, because some people seriously get into big, big obstacles with their parents. And it is unfortunately very, very, like, you know, sad, because obviously we know that there is always a generational gap between parents and their children, and that's always going to exist. And if it doesn't, that's a bit weird, because like, your parents and you are supposed to have a generational gap. So, you know, it is okay if your parents don't agree with you on some things, or they're like, why are you using your phone, when they don't know that you're upset and you're trying to get that dopamine release. So like, there are some things they'll just not understand, and you just need to accept it. But of course, there is that fine line between listening to your parents, which is what Islam says. Obviously, we all know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always told us that we need to listen to our parents and we need to obey them. But at the same time, you also can say your opinions. It doesn't mean that, you know, you need to say them respectfully, of course, but you can say your opinions like, oh yeah, I'm using my phone because I'm using it for work. Or you can say that, oh yeah, I just finished studying, I'm having a break. Like, it doesn't mean you should suddenly turn off your phone and pretend that your phone never existed. Like, you can be calm about it and just act like a normal human being. So that is essentially why I think you should work on your relationship with your parents. And this will also come through experience, of course, especially if you're a teenager. And don't be too hard on your parents or think your parents hate you. Trust me, they do not hate you, unless they're domestically abusing you or they are seriously putting you in serious danger. I think majority of the times, if, for example, they're telling you not to get into a haram relationship, or they're telling you that, oh, do your homework, it's usually for the good thing, it's not for the bad. So you will know if your parents are asking you to do good things, and you need to just listen to it if it is good. So that is pretty much everything for today's podcast episode. Alhamdulillah, we have come to the end of our wonderful podcast episode today. We really hope that inshallah you've learned something new. Also, if you do not know, we upload every Friday on our Jummah day. You remember, right? Yes, Jummah day on our Islamic Independence series here on ABC Islam. So if you're excited, then please subscribe or follow follow us on podcast platforms such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Most platforms are free and you don't even need to log on. Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah bless us all, and we will inshallah see you next time. Assalamu alaikum.